your holiday shopping. By now, you've probably heard to get going because of supply chain issues. But what about all of these we're hiring signs? I'm 5 News Side's Monica Liberty ahead, how they will add to the problem.
I'm tracking the system that's keeping the clouds and summer-like temperatures well into October. I'll tell you when it will finally feel like fall and we can leave the heat behind.
Dueling protests are underway in Orange County. Good evening, I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Gerald Owens in for David Crabtree. The protests come after controversial statements from Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson. He posted a video targeting three books he describes as sexually explicit and being taught in North Carolina schools. WRL's Mark Boyle joins us live now in the WRL Live Center. And Mark, there are also people out there in support of Robinson.
You have ralliers, you have protesters, and talking about the comments from our Lieutenant Governor, Mark Robinson, photographed here behind me. All of this happening in Orange County. The reason this is happening there is that's where the Board of Education meeting is. These are live pictures right now. I'll show you what's happening as we come on the air at 6 o'clock. You can see both groups here, some supporting Mark Robinson, others, including the NAACP, out there saying enough is enough, and there needs to be more inclusion, and that's something that a lot of people have been talking about out here, this location here this evening in Orange County. Coming up tonight at 7 o'clock, Keely Arthur will be live there. She'll be talking about this and explaining a little bit more about what's going on behind it. Inside that meeting, it is likely they'll talk about these books that you mentioned that are in some school districts across the state of North Carolina. Back to you.
Mark, thank you. A short time ago, a meeting wrapped up with UNC Chapel Hill faculty talking about a mental health crisis on campus. Tonight, WRL's Amanda Lamb is looking into the seriousness of the situation and the efforts to create change. She joins us now live from campus. Amanda?
Deborah, WREL has learned that in the last 5 weeks, two students have committed suicide and two have attempted. Right here in the middle of the pit, this is a visual reminder, a memorial from the students for these students. Now, the faculty met today to talk about how can they get better mental health services to students across the campus. Sometimes quiet things get your attention.
There were three chairs set up for those three students with, again, flowers in the seats to represent them. And that was all student-led. So there is also a big community support system for everyone.
Sophomore Sheil Patel admits it's hard to share your problems.
Kids don't necessarily tell, you know, they try to shield parents from lots of information.
Sejal Patel says when she heard the news, she reached out to her son.
First finding out, you know, what he knew of the situation in the sense to try to get of what he was feeling, how he was affected, how his friends were affected.
So that's what tomorrow's about. We are going to still have a university day.
Faculty met to talk about how to improve mental health services. Crisis counseling is available 24/7, but for individual therapy, the average wait is a week. In September, counseling and psychology services assessed 501 students, held 671 therapy sessions, managed medication for 570 students, and assisted 45 in crisis.
Either they knew someone who was dealing with depression, or they themselves had depression and felt lost.
Raleigh psychiatrist Dr. Mona Gupta recently spoke with UNC students and sees their pain.
You know, I think college in itself is a huge transition, but I think the pandemic made it completely different.
We've seen so many students stopping by here today quietly, again, leaving personal notes. It's a very powerful memorial. Now, the students do have a day off tomorrow from classes. Originally, they had part of the day off, but tomorrow now is a wellness day. And they talked in that meeting about building wellness days into the school calendar. So going forward, I think there's going to be a lot of ideas on the table, Deborah.
Yeah, and it may take more than just one day off to solve all these problems. WRL's Amanda Lamb live in Chapel Hill. Thanks, Amanda.
A fresh start is coming to Durham. Today, we learned who the new police chief will be, and there is a strong indication of who will be the next mayor. Our Durham reporter, Sarah Kruger, shares the names.
The city manager announced today that Patrice Andrews will serve as the next chief of the Durham Police Department. She is currently the chief in Morrisville. I will have a one-on-one interview with her tomorrow morning here at police headquarters. We're also getting a strong indication today that retired Judge Elaine O'Neill will be Durham's next mayor. Her sole competitor, Councilwoman Javiera Caballero, announced today she is suspending her mayoral campaign, though her name will remain on the ballot. This is after after O'Neill had a significant lead over Caballero coming out of last week's primary. Now, people I spoke with in Durham say with a new mayor who has such an understanding of the criminal justice system here in Durham, coupled with a new police chief, they feel the two women can really work together to tackle violent crime. Sarah Kruger, WRAL News in Durham.
The state of North Carolina still has no budget, more than a quarter of the way through its fiscal year. WRAL's Capitol Bureau Chief Laura Leslie explains where negotiations are tonight.
Well, the state certainly has the money to spend. We have an historic budget surplus right now of nearly $8 billion, but none of that money can be spent until House and Senate Republican leaders and Democratic Governor Roy Cooper come to an agreement on a budget compromise. The entire process of these talks has been conducted in secret, so we don't know the details. But we do know there are three major areas of disagreement. One is the size of raises for teachers and state employees. Another is whether to cut state income taxes, and if so, by how much. And a third area is Medicaid expansion. Cooper has been pushing for that for years, and state Senate leaders say they're more open to it this year than they've been in the past. But House lawmakers are saying no. They also have to agree on how to spend billions in federal pandemic relief money. 2 years ago, they deadlocked over the budget and they never managed to pass one. This year, all sides say they're trying to avoid a repeat. Laura Leslie, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The Justice Department will hold a meeting tomorrow to talk about ways to repurpose the Market House in Fayetteville. In the 1800s, enslaved people were sold on the ground floor that was used as a marketplace. The Justice Department and the Fayetteville-Cumberland Human Relations Commission formed a group to represent the community in a discussion about its future. That group includes youth, adults, people of various racial and ethnic backgrounds, along with faith leaders, civil rights advocates, and service providers. Tomorrow's meeting is not open to the public or the media to allow for candid conversations.
Local employers are ready to hire tens of thousands of workers. Jobs range from healthcare and banking to biotech and software. WRL TechWire compiled the latest information from the region's top job boards. To see what's available, along with a list of upcoming job fairs, go to WRLTechWire.com. And large employers in the area are beginning to require employees to get the vaccine or risk being fired. SAS, IBM, Red Hat, they're all mandating vaccinations, and more companies are likely to follow suit in the coming weeks. New coronavirus cases continue to trend downward. Today, we added 1,786 new cases. That's the fewest number of cases reported in a day since July 27th. And if you look at the rolling average, you can see our seven-day average right there is at 3,378 cases, the lowest since August 6th. Hospitalizations also down to their lowest in more than a month. There are currently 2,152 people in the hospital with the virus.
Still ahead on WRAL's 6 o'clock news, for weeks we've been telling you how shipping delays might impact your holiday shopping. What about all of these now hiring signs? WRAL's 5 on Your Side explains the expected fallout of that on COVID holidays 2.0. Also, a new outdoor office in Raleigh where people can meet and work outdoors. How you can take advantage of it.
When we're joined by our viewers in the West, the COVID pill up for FDA review, what its makers say it can do for those already sick with the virus and who may be able to get it. Also inside, what the FBI says was a husband and wife's plot to sell American submarine secrets. More tonight on Nightly News.
Why are we talking about a holiday shopping already? Well, the shortages, shipping delays, you've probably heard the warnings to get your gift buying done early. Five on Your Side's Monica LaLiberty uncovered some other things to know. Consider this COVID holidays 2.0.
This right here is one big takeaway. Now hiring signs are everywhere, and that will impact holiday shopping in many ways.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
Maybe not this year. Again, this holiday season, we should expect challenges to continue.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
You've likely heard about supply issues and the potential impact on what gifts are available this holiday. But have you thought about staffing and whether retailers will be able to fill all of those seasonal jobs necessary to meet shopper needs?
They're not. They're going to try. But they will fall short. Everyone will.
Craig Fisher helps national chains, including Ross Dress for Less, recruit employees. He says retailers have hundreds of thousands of jobs to fill.
Retailers in North Carolina are in dire need of labor.
Andy Ellen heads the North Carolina Retail Merchants Association.
We need those workers not only at the store level, we need them at the distribution center level, which is what supplies those stores, as well as things like truck drivers. We need those to move that product to our stores.
A silver lining for consumers, though, these experts say deals will start sooner and last longer. Amazon and Target already started holiday sales. Target even telling customers, don't worry about missing out. New this year, they'll price match anything purchased between October 10th and December 24th. The advice, if you struggle to find what you're looking for, keep checking.
We expect they'll be shipping more product throughout the holiday season.
Catherine Cullen with the National Retail Federation says technology will help customers this year.
A lot of retailers are putting information out there on their websites and their mobile apps for small businesses, maybe on their social channels, telling you what's in stock, what they have left, what's selling quickly.
As for shipping delays, some companies are trying workarounds. Costco chartered its own ships. Apparel company Lululemon chartered its own planes. The efforts will get products to stores, but will likely mean price increases. And if you need to ship, do that early too. UPS, FedEx, and the U.S. Postal Service are all trying to hire their own seasonal staff. The experts stress it all boils down to one message.
Be patient as a consumer, right? Be patient with your retailers because it's not easy right now. We are working at a fraction of the workforce that we should be for a season like this.
So keep your cool to help make sure it really is
the most wonderful time of the year.
Think you'll avoid problems by BOPUS? That's the savvy acronym for buy online, pick up in store, or of course in the parking lot. But staffing shortages will impact that too, especially considering 90% of consumers recently surveyed said they plan to shop that way. Monica LaLiberty, WREL News 5 on your side.
More than 65% of Americans have at least one dose of the coronavirus vaccine. And with more and more companies requiring that as a condition of your employment, a lot of employees are citing their religion as a reason they can't get one. Dr. Anthony Fauci says very few of those claims will hold up in court. WREL's Paul Spey checks that claim for PolitiFact.
Can you avoid the COVID vaccine if you say it's against your religion? That's what some people are trying to do, but Dr. Fauci says there are actually only a few cases that will qualify. Listen to what he told CNN.
There are precious few religions that actually say you cannot do that. I mean, very, very few. I mean, literally less than a handful. But people, you know, sometimes confuse a philosophical objection with a religious objection. When you talk about actually established religions, there are so few of those that actually will not allow you to get vaccinated.
Fauci said very few organized religions have a history of opposing vaccines, and technically that's true. Vanderbilt University put this list together, identifying the faiths that have been consistent on the issue. And you can see only a handful of small Christian groups have this as part of their tenets. That said, experts say the government can, in some cases, recognize your vaccine opposition, even if you don't belong to one of those groups. But proving your beliefs are religious and sincerely held can be complicated, especially in court. For instance, a Philadelphia hospital fired a longtime employee for refusing to get the flu shot. She sued, saying the shot does more harm than good, but the courts found that particular argument to be a personal opinion, not a religious one. People have also tried to get religious exemptions for masks. Plaintiffs in Pennsylvania said it dishonors God to cover their faces. But the judge pointed out that one family's actions were inconsistent because their son wore a mask to his squash club. Clearly, you can't just claim that any random thing is against your religion. Fauci's comments didn't cover everything that we've covered here, but generally, he's on point. And that's why the Truth Meter rates his claim mostly true. Now, you can read about these cases in our full fact check at WREL.com.
Some exciting changes are in the works along the Crabtree Creek West Trail. Construction began today to bring improvements to the trail. The project involves 5 pedestrian bridges, removing some trees, and installing fencing to protect trees along the route. Once complete, the Crabtree Creek Greenway will stretch nearly 17 miles. Construction is expected to take about 2 years.
You can now take advantage of a new outdoor office in Raleigh. Today, downtown Raleigh's Union Station Plaza was transformed into a space for people to meet and work outdoors. The outdoor office event features open seating, Wi-Fi, and a handful of meeting tables available for reservations. You can make those reservations online. We checked this morning, and some time slots for today were still open. Outdoor office will be open on weekdays now through next Friday, October 22nd.
The state fair just a few days away. We've already seen some of the new foods this year. We have to figure out a way be able to order food from the state fair and have it delivered.
I know, yeah. I don't know. Will Uber do that? You know, DoorDash? I'm not sure. Yeah, I know. Yeah. We'll take turns making a run. How about that? That's not too
okay,
far.
Okay, you're yeah.
The food looks good. The weather looks good. If you're a fan of the warm weather, Gerald and Deb, the kickoff of the state fair looks fantastic. 84. So this is a temperature turnaround from what we had over the weekend and what we're experiencing right now. As soon as the sun comes back, temperatures bump up, but the 80s have a limited run. You'll see that coming up. Partly sunny, maybe a little less humid. Dew points could fall into the 50s for the opening of the state fair. Now today, just socked in with clouds. That area of low pressure that brought us the rain over the weekend is moving out. So once we lose that influence, we'll see clearing sky, and I think that's going to take place tomorrow afternoon. So we'll have mostly cloudy skies, if not an overcast tonight, and start with that in the morning. Out there right now, from Clinton to Chapel Hill to Goldsboro, all in overcast. We've got you covered in Durham with the WRL Newsroom. Not a good looking day, but there's no rain coming out of the clouds, so there's no worry about having to carry an umbrella around. An hour by hour through the evening, we're going to fall into the 60s. It'll be comfortable. By daybreak, we may get into the upper 50s. We're forecasting about 58 for our start of the day. So there's that area of low pressure moving out. There's the cold front. There's the system that brought the nasty weather to Oklahoma yesterday. There were 17 reports of tornadoes touching down. Now that energy to develop severe weather bypassing North Carolina. That front will never get here. There's a big ridge of high pressure that's setting up shop that is really going to heat us up in the coming days. And look how the numbers rebound. Our normal high is 75. If we have enough sunshine tomorrow, 78. Low 80s on Wednesday, mid 80s Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then the front sweeps on by. And after the front comes on by, temperatures crash for Sunday. Here is future cast showing the warm air. Here is the ridge of high pressure. Notice by the time we get to Friday and Saturday, the reds get darker. That's the warmer air. Mid to upper 80s, the possibility for highs. The front moves on by. Saturday night, there could be a shower, maybe a storm, and then there's the cooler and less humid air that moves in. And I don't see a return to 80s anytime soon because we have progressive air masses that cool us down. There's another one coming in the following Wednesday that brings a stronger push of cooler, less humid air. So tonight, clouds, comfortable, lows in the mid-50s to about 60. Heading out in the morning for the commute, there'll be a lot of cloud cover, but during the afternoon, we expect sunshine to come out. Should be partly to mostly sunny later in the day, 78 for Raleigh, 80 at Fayetteville. And the numbers keep going up. 7-day forecast. We have 4 days in the 80s. If you're a fan of this kind of warmth, enjoy it, because once that front goes on by, temperatures cool down. For the start of the state fair weekend, 86 for Saturday. It's going to be kind of toasty on the midway, but check out Sunday. Perhaps only 70 for a high, dew points in the 40s. Dew points on Monday could be in the 30s. And then there's another strong push on Wednesday of that following week that brings in more cool air. So again, I don't see a return to 80s after these move on by.
And we kick humidity to the curb.
Yes.
That would be nice.
Thank you, Mike. Forward to that.
I think today's weather was really reflective of how we're all feeling as sports fans, right, Chris?
If you're a fan of a team in North Carolina, chances are you had a bad weekend.
Yeah.
Because multiple teams had a rough go at it over the weekend on the gridiron. Head in sports. The Monday morning reaction, how the Panthers and the North Carolina Tar Heels feel about losing over the weekend when they were a favorite to win their games. That is next in sports. It's easy to be a Monday morning quarterback and point out what the Carolina Panthers could have done better yesterday. They lost 21-18 to a very bad Philadelphia Eagles team after having the lead for most of the game. If you look on social media, listen to talk radio, everyone has their remedy for success for the Panthers. I even gave my remedy yesterday on Sports Extra. Today, Matt Rhule gave his remedy for success, and it's a simple one.
Oh, hey, should we blitz more? Should we run a double move? Should we run that? It's not about that. To me, it's not about that. Coaches have to give them the best chance to be successful. But we have such talented players if they will continue to buy into just doing their job and playing hard, playing for each other, sacrificing for each other, being accountable to the system and playing within the system, we'll have success, whether we're losing or whether we're winning.
So just buy in, he says. The Panthers will host the Minnesota Vikings at home this Sunday at 1 o'clock. Now, there are some parallels between the Carolina Panthers and the North Carolina Tar Heels. Before Saturday's game, most people would have picked the Heels to beat Florida State. But that's where the comparisons stop. If you watched the game, you know that the Heels just looked unprepared during the game, and the game started to get away from them in the second quarter when they gave up 21 straight points. Now, this preseason top 10 team is 3-3, looking for answers going forward.
I think the biggest thing is inconsistency with this team. We never know who's going to show up, and that's on me. We should have won more games than we have, in my estimation. So it's on us, period. And they've got to play better, but it's our job to get them to play better.
No disappointments for the Wolfpack over the weekend because they were off. The Pack are on the road four of their next five games. They were at home four of their last five games, and they're 4-1 this season. Their lone loss, you guessed it, is on the road. So head coach Dave Doran is taking on the challenge of getting his team ready for these hostile environments coming up.
We got to be at our best. You know, when you go on the road, you've got to play, obviously, not only against the team you're playing, but sometimes against their fan base. And you've got to do a great job of being focused and executing.
And the Wolfpack will be on the road taking on Boston College this Saturday. That will be a tough one for them. They're going to have to get it in gear for sure.
Yeah, the fair comes to town, and usually NC State has to leave town. Go play their games elsewhere. Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Chris. And thank you for watching. In a few minutes, NBC Nightly News will answer the answers that you need to know about the so-called COVID pill, who could get it, and why the supply is limited.
And then at 7, we're going to check back in on the protests inspired by the Lieutenant Governor's words. WRL's Keely Arthur joins us live from the Orange County School Board meeting with the arguments from both groups. We'll see you at 7.